This morning's scripture reading will be found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Thank you, Cody. Good morning to everyone. The title of my lesson is Characteristics of a Christian. Cody just read some of the qualifications for that a man must possess if he's going to be appointed as an elder. We can read the rest of the chapter there and see some of the things pertain to deacons as well. And also in Titus, the first chapter, where we find some of the qualifications are the same there and some of them are different. But I think that these things that are mentioned here are more than that. I think that the words that we read here are more than just qualifications for elders or deacons or whatever the case might be. I think perhaps we might classify them as qualities of a Christian. If you look up the word characters, one thing that it speaks about as being having a peculiar quality. And I think that you and I, as Christians, have to have that peculiar quality. Also, if you continue looking through the definition, we find that it talks about a characteristic as being a trait. And to me, that is something that people can identify us by. And so what I'm trying to say is that I think that these things that are mentioned here are more than just things, they're more than just words. There's something that should apply to each and every one of us as Christians. And to me, I believe that what they actually are stepping stones for a Christian. Stepping stones to become more, what's the word I want to use? More prominent in the world. Stepping stones that people can identify us by. Stepping stones that people can see a difference in us as we go through our everyday walk of life. Some of these might not stand out quite in that way, but a lot of them do. So what we're talking about, I think, is a distinctive trait of each and every one of us as individuals, if we are a Christian. So let's talk about some of these. vigilant. We think of vigilant, we think of being watchful, being looking out for one another. And I think this is a very definite trait a Christian should have. We definitely should be concerned about one another. And a scripture that comes to my mind is in Galatians 6 and 1, where it says that if you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. But also considering yourself that you might fall into the same snare as well. So we have a responsibility to be watchful. Not just the elders to be watchful. Each and every one of us should be a caretaker for each of us in the congregation, to be concerned about them, to make sure that we don't get into trouble. Sober is another one. Having self-control. This isn't always easy. A lot of times we're confronted with some things that works on us pretty hard. But it certainly, to me, is a characteristic that a Christian should have, is having self-control. Being able to control ourselves. Being able to control our temper. Of good behavior. A life that is orderly is as God would desire it to be. And as we go through our everyday walk of life, this is something that we as Christians, each and every one of us, should possess a good behavior. I believe that they should be able to see that in us. I don't think that somebody should have to walk up to us and ask us, perhaps, maybe if we are a Christian. I believe that they should be able to see that in us and know that we are a Christian. Given to hospitality. One of the things I think that about this is willing to listen to others. You've probably heard me use the example of Dale Carnegie. I took a Dale Carnegie course one time, and one of the things in one of his lessons was to be a good listener. If you want to win friends and influence people, be a good listener. And I think that's what we need to be, is a good listener. Apt to teach. I'm sure that when we first become a Christian, this is something that we're not going to be able to do. But as we continue to grow and become stronger and something that we should accept as a responsibility, that we have a responsibility to teach. But there's something else that I think about, and as one sister always says, she would rather see a sermon any time than hear one. And I think that carries a lot of weight, seeing a sermon rather than hearing one. Not given to wine. This, to me, is a big responsibility. But when we think about wine as it's mentioned in the Bible, Paul, I believe, was encouraged to use some wine because of an infirmity that he had with his stomach. So I think in the Bible, it's probably used to a lot of people as a medicine. But we can let medicine take us over as well. We can abuse it, and we can misuse it. Striker. Quarrelsome. fighter, wanting to settle something with physically. This certainly wasn't a characteristic of Christ. I believe we're supposed to be like Him. We should set example as near as possible as we can to be like Him. And a striker is certainly not one of His characteristics and should not be one of ours as well. We know that Christ became angry. It tells us that He went into the temple and He was very upset because of the money changers was in there and what they were using the temple for. And He tells us that He became angry. So He did become angry. Greed for money. We all know that we have to have money. It's just impossible to live without it, so we have to have it. But it depends what that money, how that money becomes a part of our life. Whether it becomes more important than serving God and Christ. So we should not let it influence us in that way. And I think people have the ability to see that in us if we happen to be guilty of that. So I believe that we really need to be careful that this isn't a problem. Patient. Sometimes this is hard. Along with patience, we think of people that are patient are usually gentle. Usually they're very considerate of those around about them, those that they are with, and so forth. Usually people that are patient have a very good understanding, or at least try to understand people's problems and their troubles and so forth. I think Christ was very patient. More patient than probably the majority of people will ever be. Not a brawler. We have a right to contend for the faith. We have a right to defend what we believe in. But the thing of it is, if you get in an argument about it, you're probably going to lose. Because we drive barriers between ourselves and the one we're probably trying to talk to. So we need to be careful that this is something that we don't get into. And perhaps it might classify this as being a brawler or having a problem. Of good report. This is something that each and every one of us should be all of good report. And if not, we need to do something about it, or perhaps I'm sure we will well be in danger someday. Most people that we associate with in our everyday walk of life, whether we understand or whether we know them very well, probably have some opinion of you and I. And I hope if somebody asks them that they could give a good report of me or you or whoever else it might be. Grave? Grave is honorable. Grave is perhaps being respectable. The thing that I think about as grave is being serious. This is something that we truly need to be serious about. And I think that each one of these things, as we talk about them and as we mention them, are things that we need to think about and be serious about. Not double-tongued. Sometimes we see people that way. Sometimes we see Christians that way as well. They want to be on both sides of the fence. And we can't be that way. We just cannot be that way. Understanding the mystery of the faith. We have to understand perhaps what Christ and God wants us to do, what they want taught, how we can teach those that we associate with in our everyday walk of life, being able to revile the truth and tell it to others. We must know the truth. And the only way that we can do that is that we must study and grow. And of course, 2 Timothy 2:15 very well takes care of that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the only way we can grow, become stronger, is by our study of the Bible. Not be guilty of slander. Being free with our tongue. Pretty easy to do. To let our tongue get out of control. And many times when they say something, it's usually something that we can't take back. It's already been said, and there's not much we can do about it. So we need to be careful that we not be guilty of that. You know, we can turn to the book of James, and it talks quite a bit about the tongue, how we need to learn to control it. It does tell us there that the tongue can no man tame, but it does say that we need to work on controlling it, because it can get us in trouble. Faithful in all things. Each and every one of us should all show a life devoted to God. I don't know what part of the service or what part of anything that we do that can be left out and be satisfactory with God and Christ. Of course, Hebrews 10:25, where it speaks of us not forsaking the assembly. If you're so well versed on the scriptures that you don't need to be when every time that we assemble ourselves together, then you need to be here teaching me. And I think that's the purpose of assembly. Every time we assemble ourselves together, we're usually talking and discussing and teaching one another concerning the Bible. And if you're strong enough that you don't need to be here, don't think you need to be here, once again I'll say, you need to be here teaching me. put God first in our life. I think wherever we are, whatever we're doing, people can see this in us. And I think especially true concerning our neighbors. I think they know about the Church of Christ. I think they know what the church stands for. And if at times we're not a part of it, I'm sure they question maybe why we aren't. I think our neighbors see more than perhaps we think that they do. So we need to put Christ first in our lives so there's no doubt in their minds. Self-willed. Selfish. Not considerate. Not concerned. Always want to be right and not willing to listen. That's probably self-willed. And I don't think that we should be that way. I think that's the reason why it says it in there. The reason why it's mentioned. That it shouldn't be a part of our life. That we should be willing to listen. Listen to suggestions. Listen to change or whatever that might be. Not soon angry. Once again, this has to do perhaps with being in control of ourself, self-control. I think that we have to be this way. If we're not, this is probably one of the first things I believe that people are going to know about us. That we don't take care of that. Christ was certainly in control, especially when he was being tried. They tried in every way they could to cause him to perhaps get out of control. But he didn't. But we're not Christ, so we have to work on it. Lover of good men. We should notice amongst ourselves, I think, one of the things I think that probably we fail to do is too often we don't express to those when they do very well, when we see improvement in one another. So we should try to encourage one another in whatever way we can. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Where we find a warning. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Where it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Kind of says a lot about what I guess I'm talking about. Also in Colossians 3, where where it talks about forgiving. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is a big responsibility. I'm not here to say that that's easy. But we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to give up sometimes. Being a Christian is a challenge. But it's one that we all must meet. I think it's an uphill battle. And you know, God in no way says that it's easy. He only says, I will help you. The things that we're talking about is not just for a certain few. To me, these are characteristics that must be a part of us. As I go through my daily life, there's three verses that I continually think about. I'd like for the young and old as well to think about these verses. If you're a young Christian, you need to be thinking about it. If you're an old Christian, you need to be thinking about it. And all of us in between. If I'm one of those that's in between. It's Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. Where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We need to be careful. We cannot escape Christ. We need to be careful. He sees our every move. And the other one that I constantly think about is 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Where it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I think that covers everything. And we need to be an example wherever we are. Offer gospel invitation to anybody who might be outside of the body of Christ. Not knowing the minds of those that are with us. This is merely an opportunity we have of extending a gospel invitation. But we need to keep in mind as well that we can accept the invitation of becoming a Christian any place. You know, Philip and the eunuch were traveling down a road in a carriage or something when the eunuch decided that he wanted to become a child of God. So it can happen any place. If anybody thinks they want to become a child of God, let somebody know. If we've departed from the truth, we feel that we have a problem, if we can assist you as well, we invite you to come forward as you stand and sing.